Amazing. Have you enjoyed yourselves this evening? Yeah. It's just so great that we can enjoy such talented musicians this evening. And it's a God-given gift that these people use for the glory of God. Amen? Amen. Time is moving forward, but I want to ask, can I still have your ear for a moment? Yeah? Is that okay? All right. Jim read some scripture to you earlier from Luke chapter 2, and I want to read to you a different part of the Christmas story from Matthew chapter 2. So you can follow along. I have the scripture on the screen there for you. Start at verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied. "For this is what the prophet has written, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This child who was born in Bethlehem is who? Jesus. King Jesus. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. It's difficult for us to understand this in a way. Even though the prophets foretold of the Messiah, the Savior of the world, coming to be a king. And his arrival in the form of Jesus Christ was completely unexpected of what an arrival of a king would be. If you're looking for a king, you would not be looking for someone like Jesus and his birth. Who has ever heard of a king being born to a peasant woman? Who would have guessed that the coming king would be born in a stable among the animals? Who could have imagined that the King of Kings would not grow up in a palace? This was not the kind of king the world is used to seeing. Kings are born a noble birth in palaces on silk sheets. They spend their childhood trained by philosophers and politicians and advisors on the fine art of governing and ruling. Kings lead mighty armies. Jesus led a group of fishermen and tax collectors. Kings ride on noble steeds. Jesus walked the dusty roads of Judea, and he rode on a donkey. Kings are followed by lords and ladies. Jesus was followed by sinners, tax collectors, prostitutes, and the sick. Kings live in ornate castles and palaces, but Jesus had no home to lay his head. Kings wear fancy robes and jewelry, and Jesus wore ordinary, everyday clothes. Do you ever wonder what it was like for these wise men, these magi from the east, when they saw the star of Jesus and knew that the king from heaven had come, and they sought over Israel, and they went to the capital in Jerusalem, to the royal palace, and asked, "Where is this king who has been born?" And they must have been surprised to find that no one knew this. There was no birth in the palace. In fact, King Herod was so disturbed because, after all, he was the reigning king. And if a new king was born, that threatened his kingship, his dynasty, his family dynasty. So King Herod called together all the wise men, scholars, and asked them, "Where is this new king to be born?" And they determined that it's in Bethlehem, a little town about 6 miles outside of Jerusalem. And Herod sent the Magi off to find this newborn king. And he instructed them to do what? To return to him and tell him exactly where this king was. And he said so that he can go worship him too. But we know that Herod secretly would murder and kill this child. That was the desire of his heart. And overjoyed, the Magi, these three wise men, these three kings, went to Bethlehem. And imagine how surprised they were when they found this child with her mother, or his mother, and the King of Kings would be descended from a lowly young woman and her carpenter husband. But of course, we know that the Bible says that Mary had found favor in God's eyes, and the father Joseph, he was a direct descendant of none other than the King David himself. But when everything was said and done, what did the Magi do? They realized that this was the king they were looking for. And they did what was natural in the presence of the King of Kings. They bowed down, they worshiped him, and they offered their priceless gifts to him. Gifts fit for a king. The world today is faced in a similar dilemma. Will we worship Jesus today as King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Do you worship Jesus today as King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Is he your king? Like the people of Jesus' time, there are a lot of different reactions to Jesus being a king. Some people find it hard to believe that Jesus is a king at all. After all, he ruled no nation during his lifetime. He led no armies in this world. He conquered no foreign land. Jesus lived a common life with common people and died the death of a criminal, the death on a Roman cross, executed. But Jesus lived an extraordinary life. And he had extraordinary powers. He healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind. He even raised people from the dead. He calmed the storms in the sea. He walked on water. There has never been anyone in this world throughout history like Jesus. His birth split time as we know it. Yet Jesus commanded, he didn't force anyone to follow him. He was content to let people choose to follow him or not. Some people hear that Jesus is king, and that he's Lord, and that he's Savior, and they scoff at the idea of someone so meek and mild ruling over the world. However, the kingdom of Jesus Christ that he rules over is not of this world. When Jesus stood before Pilate, the representative of the kingdom of Rome, Pilate asked Jesus point blank, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And listen to what Jesus said. Jesus answered him, saying, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." While some people scoff at Jesus being King of Kings and Lord of Lords, There are some, like the Magi, who come to Jesus and look for him and find him. These are the wise men and women who are searching for a Savior and find it in the one who is foretold, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I encourage you to search for Jesus. I encourage you to read the scriptures. Download the Bible onto your phone and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John in the life of Jesus. Judge for yourself. Don't let it slip by. Perhaps he's been speaking to your heart this evening, calling you by name. You see, even though Jesus died a horrible death on the Roman cross, he is alive today. Our Savior lives. The King of Kings rules and reigns from heaven on his throne. And one day he will return. Those three candles there burn for the Advent Sundays. Today is the third Advent. Next week is the fourth Advent. But there's still an Advent coming, and that is the Advent of the second coming of Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that Jesus rose from the dead on the third day. And there are hundreds of eyewitnesses from that time that saw the empty tomb, that spoke to Jesus, that saw him, and even touched him after his resurrection. Jesus spoke to his disciples after his resurrection in Luke 24, 46, saying, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." You see, the reason Jesus suffered and died on the cross is for the forgiveness of your sins and my sins. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. You might be thinking, "Whoa, Pastor, why are you talking about sin and death on Christmas?" It's because I love you. And because I don't want anybody here to perish, because there is life after this life. We're just passing through. And there is a world after this world. And there's a kingdom after this world. And that is the kingdom of God. Are you in it? Do you know him? Every one of us is guilty of breaking God's law. Every single one of us. Have you ever lied, stolen, or used the Lord's name in vain? Those are just three of the Ten Commandments. And I guarantee you, every one of us has broken one of those. And if you break one commandment, the Word of God says you've broken the whole law and you are guilty. And God's Word tells us that God pays us wages of sin, his death. He pays us for our sin with death. He is holy, he is pure, he is righteous. He's the righteous judge. But the good news is that Jesus came to pay that fine. He came to pay that fine. Jesus carried your sin, my sin, all of our sin to the cross. The Bible said he never knew sin. He never sinned. Yet he was made our sin. Our sin was placed on him, and he died on the cross for us, paying the wages of death for you. And this is why Jesus said, "It is finished," right before he died on the cross, meaning the debt is fully paid by his blood. And therefore, our sins are forgiven, and we receive salvation and eternal life in Jesus Christ. Romans 10:9 says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." That is the word of God. That is a promise that we can stand on eternally. So Christmas isn't just about a baby named Jesus being born to a Virgin Mary. It's about Jesus who is called Emmanuel, which means God with us, who entered into this world to show us who God the Father is and what his love means. He came to provide us forgiveness for our sins so that we can have life. Do you want life? Do you have life in Jesus Christ? And God in his great mercy and patience is waiting for as many people to come to Jesus before the end of the age. There is still unfulfilled prophecy in the scriptures that we're waiting on, and that is the return of King Jesus. And when he comes back on the second advent, he will not be coming back as a child, as a meek servant. He will be coming back with great power and glory, with an army of angels. And he will be coming back as a King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to set up his eternal kingdom. What we do in this life determines where we are in the next life. All who know him as their king and put their faith in him will be saved. That is the promise of God. And they will dwell in his eternal kingdom forever. I want to close off with John 3:16-17, a scripture that is so well known, but so good. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Can you bow your heads and pray with me?